Andy was an older man. He was single. And he went and placed his membership in a small church. And he soon learned that the entire church was intimidated by a woman named Gertrude. Maybe we should call her Gossiping Gertrude. She had a word about everybody. And it wasn't long before she had a word about Andy. And she started whispering to everybody in the church that she was afraid that Andy had a drinking problem because on two separate occasions she had gone by an establishment that serves alcohol and his truck was parked out front. Andy responded without words. He simply found out where Gossiping Gertrude lived. He drove there one evening with his truck, parked it right in front of her home, walked home, leaving his truck parked in front of her house all night. I like Andy. We're in this series, Whatever, and we are discovering that we need to live differently than we do, and we're asking ourselves, well, what does that look like? And we're saying everything matters as a disciple of Jesus. Whatever we do, whatever we think, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, all of it belongs to Jesus. Everyone should be able to answer this question. Are you ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord? And if you have actually answered that question, and if you said yes, when you gave Jesus your word, here is what I want you to understand this morning. You also are giving Jesus your words. When you gave Jesus your word, you also gave Jesus your words. You can't just say anything you want if you want your faith to be worth anything. That might seem strong, but I didn't say that. James, the brother of Jesus, said that. James chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone considers himself religious and yet doesn't keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Now, the tongue is a muscle. It only weighs about 70 grams. It's not very big. And have you ever noticed it's the only muscle in your body that never gets tired? I can preach a long sermon. I can get on the radio and talk every single day of the week, and I don't have to stretch my tongue before I start because it's got a big workout coming. You never see me after a sermon putting a pack of ice on my tongue because it's been worn out from all the preaching. That tongue can just go and go and go, and that's usually the problem. The smallest part of our body can create the biggest consequences we face. Because as Brother James says, even though it's just a tiny spark from our tongue can start huge fires. So as a disciple of Jesus, we must take responsibility for whatever comes out of our mouth. Look again with me at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. We read this verse last week. It says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is a critical matter because our words really do matter. And here's the reason why. Our words direct our path. You heard at the very beginning of the service, Kevin read that our tongue is compared to the bit in a horse's mouth or to the rudder of a ship. It is a little thing that guides a big thing. And that is what our words do. Words give direction to our lives and to the lives of other people. That's why there is this powerful but very short verse in the Bible in Proverbs 18:21. The first part of that verse says, the tongue has the power of both life and death. Words create life. Think about it. It was with words that God the Father created the entire universe. With words, Jesus spoke, and a dead man got up and walked out of a tomb. In fact, it was words, particularly the gospel, and you heard them, and your spirit was quickened, and you responded to Jesus, and you received new life. That is why every week I spend so much time on the words that I'm going to say, because they have the power to literally change directions of people's lives. I have a folder up in my office. I thought about bringing it down, but in that folder, it's about 3.5 inches thick, and it contains cards and notes and letters and even emails that I printed out from people that I received because of a sermon I preached on February 12th, 2012. Now, that particular sermon also received a lot of criticism, but the letters that I received are all in response to that in a supportive mode. But when I went through that time receiving criticism, I also received death threats. I received vile, pornographic emails. I'd click on the email, nothing in the subject line, and there would be images of just vile, disgusting things just for the pure joy of the other person sending it, knowing that I saw something gross. I received just terrible, hate-filled voicemails at home, here at the church, emails, you name it. But what it was that I also received an overwhelming barrage of support. And that's what kept me going. It was like I was getting light in the middle of darkness. It really did bring vitality to me. Words create life. And God knows the power of words. So does God's enemy, by the way. The Bible says it can set your whole life on fire. For the fire is from hell itself. In our tongues. Satan loves to spread spiritual death mouth to mouth. I want you to look at this picture up on the screen. That is a Tasmanian devil. They are found on the continent of Australia. And over 10 years ago, there was a plague that nearly wiped out 40% of Tasmanian devils on the continent of Australia. They thought at first that it was a virus, but they learned it actually was a cancer, a very rare cancer. So they began to study the chromosomal abnormalities, and they all matched, and they realized that it led to one particular Tasmanian devil that had a cancerous tumor in its mouth. And the behavior of devils when they fight over food is they bite each other in the face. That's why a lot of them have scarred up faces, bite each other in the mouths. Well, they do that, and this one devil did that, and that tumor spread into another devil and then into another devil. And before you know it, within a year, 40% of the population of Tasmanian devils on the continent of Australia were nearly wiped out. And it all started with one mouth. And you can kind of see where I'm going with this. That's the power of words. One tongue can destroy a family. One tongue can completely take down a business or a corporation. One tongue can split or divide a church. Small sparks can create great damage. So we have to take responsibility for our words. One of the couplets that we learned as children: sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And those are some of the dumbest words ever spoken. Words absolutely can hurt us. And we have all been deeply wounded by words. And let's be honest, all of us have regrets about things that we wish we had never said. The writer of Proverbs was so wise when he said in Proverbs 13, "Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can can ruin everything. That is why whatever we say really matters. Words give direction to life, but also our words reflect our hearts. Now, we're so quick to excuse our careless words. We don't want to take responsibility for what it is that we say. So we say things like, well, I didn't mean that. I was just angry. Or you took that the wrong way, as if it's your fault because of the things I said. Or that's just something people say, so it must be okay, right? Or how about this? That's not who I am. Whenever a famous person or an athlete or a politician makes a statement and it comes across as racist or sexist, they always say, well, I apologize for what I said. That's not who I am. Are we going to own whatever we say? So let's let Jesus, the living Word, comment about our words. He said in Matthew 12, verse 34, the latter part of the verse, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Let that sink in. Jesus says that the tongue is just a bucket, and it goes down into the depths of your heart, and it just pulls up what's inside of that. The reason it came out of you is because it was in you. So when you say, I know I said that, but that's not who I am, Jesus would say, no, that's exactly who you are. Otherwise, you wouldn't have said it. He doesn't let up. Matthew chapter 15, verse 3 chapters later, he says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. So you see, Jesus takes our words much more seriously than we do. Jesus says the reason that your words matter is because it reveals what's the matter with your heart. So if you find yourself constantly being sarcastic, constantly complaining, gossiping, stretching the truth, Jesus says that's a heart problem. Let me take a moment to share with you something that really bothers me. OMG. Really. I want you to just consider something. This God you speak of so cavalierly, so innocuously, is Jehovah God. Do you remember in the Old Testament there was the Levites? And out of the Levites, there were the priests. And from the priest, one day, every single year, a particular priest would be chosen as the one who would enter into the Holy of Holies and perform the sacred priestly duties in the presence of God. Now, as he would go into this place, into this Holy of Holies, one of the things that he had to do was tie a rope around his leg. Why? Because if he wasn't worthy enough, if he had hidden sin in his life, if he didn't revere the name of God, he would drop dead as he entered that place. And the rope was there so that the others could pull him out of that room. Can you imagine the conversation that man would have with himself as he tied the rope on his leg? I hope I've been good enough. I hope I've taken care with the name of God. I hope my speech hasn't betrayed the Lord. And you are given the privilege of being in the very presence of God every single day of your life, and you speak so carelessly of the one true God as you type out a comment on Facebook or you text something. OMG, seriously? I feel like Isaiah when I see that from people that I love and care about. I'm a man amongst people of unclean lips, oh God. I'm trying to talk about something here that helps you understand that Jesus said, whatever is in your heart determines what you say. And if you think so little of God to speak His name in such a profane way as to belittle it, where it can become a curse word for you, God damn it. Jesus Christ, because you are angry, my friend, that means you think very little of the God that you sit here to profess today. That's what's in your heart. And that goes against the grain, frankly, of our American culture, doesn't it? As an American, I can say whatever I want, whenever I want, wherever I want, however I want. And listen, social media gives us a platform to do that like never before. So suddenly we all have the right and the capacity to let the whole world know what we think about anything. But as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you surrendered your rights. As a disciple, you bring whatever you say and whatever you text and whatever you post and whatever you write, and you put that under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Why? Because when you gave Jesus your word, you gave Jesus your words. And that's why we need to think before we speak. And I know this is simplistic, but I have an acrostic, and I'm gonna ask five quick questions to help us give life through our words. First question that we need to ask is this: is it true? Start right there. The devil is a liar. He loves to deceive. Lying, Jesus said, is his native language. And he has so infected our culture with his vernacular that in our culture, we expect a certain amount of deception from salesmen and from politicians and from people we see on the news. That's just normal to us. We expect it. And why is it that people lie? They lie for two reasons. They lie to promote themselves, and they lie to protect themselves, even in the church. There's a couple you can read about, Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the church to promote themselves. They wanted to sound more generous than they really were. And when they got called on the carpet, they lied again to protect themselves. You should go read Acts chapter 5, by the way, sometime, just to kind of see how God feels about lying. Several years back, there was a man named Michael Guglielmochi, and he wrote a song that became very popular by the group Hillsong. The song was called Healer. Michael had gone to the hospital for an illness, and he then announced to the entire world that he had contracted terminal cancer. So he wrote this song in response to that, and the song became very popular, and Michael traveled all over, and he would sing this song, and sometimes when he would perform the song, he had no hair. He would even wear oxygen tubes in his nose as he sang this song. And 2 years later, his father revealed he didn't have cancer. It was all a complete lie to cover up a 16-year addiction to pornography. Now, listen, that song, it's a good song. God can still use that song. He can bring beauty out of ashes. But I want you to see, this is how powerful the influence of the enemy is among the people of God. Remember, whatever you say as a representative of Jesus needs to be truthful. As a new person in Christ, I want you to listen to Paul's wisdom in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Don't make excuses in this arena. Don't say, well, I was just exaggerating. If it's not the truth, it's not the truth. Small sparks can cause great damage. Is it true? Think before we speak. H, is it helpful? I remember once when I reached for a jar of spaghetti in our old pantry in our home. It fell and it splattered up and down the walls in our pantry, both sides, all over the shelves, all over the pantry door, all over me. And I stood there covered in spaghetti sauce. And my wife, who was in the kitchen at the time, looked at me and said, "You've made quite a mess." And what she said was true. It wasn't helpful at all, but it was true. And my response to her was, "We have to move." Now listen to Paul's words once again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Just because something may be true does not mean that it is helpful. By the way, something we are often tempted to do in church is gossip. We think it is okay to talk about other people if what it is that we are saying about them is true. But gossip is hurtful. We like to disguise gossip as a prayer request. We think, well, that gives us permission to say what we want to say. Heard a story about a man that was the CEO of a company that for several years was voted one of the best corporate cultures in America. And he was asked why, and he said, "It's simple. If you gossip, you're fired." And you might ask me, "Well, what is gossip?" Well, when you talk about something to someone that cannot fix it, all that does is destroy the morale of the institution. What if we actually tried that in church? You see, we are especially to be careful of what we say at church. We are to think about what we say at church. The author of Hebrews wrote in chapter 10, "Let us think about each other and help each other to show love and do good deeds." You should not stay away from the church meetings as some are doing, but you should meet together and encourage each other. Do this even more as you see the day coming. One of the reasons that we come together at church is because we can encourage each other. One way that you worship God is with the words that you bring to somebody at church that helps them. And that's why the third thing that we need to think about is it inspiring? There is a word that's used over 100 times in the New Testament. It is the word encourage. It is a powerful word. Dr. Larry Crabb, in one of his books, did a study on this particular word, and I love his definition. When he boiled it all down, here's what the word encourage means. It means you say something that helps somebody else want to be a better Christian. That's what it means to encourage. Say something that helps somebody else want to be a better Christian. Because words have the power to give life. We all gravitate to people like that, don't we? We all gravitate to people that we can just count on to give us words that are going to help us be better people. That was something that my grandmother did for me. That's something that my wife does for me. Toward the end of the book of Colossians, Paul is talking about a young man named Tychicus. Here's what he says in verse 8 of chapter 4. "I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts." Excuse me for a moment. Here's what I wondered as I read that verse. I wondered, would Paul have picked me for that assignment? And Paul's thinking, I need somebody for the express purpose of encouraging people's hearts. I know, I'll get Mike. Would Paul have chosen me? Would he have chosen you? But we also need to remember that we encourage people by our presence and by our silence. See, that's the fourth question. Is it necessary? I appreciate a man named Terry Michael being honest when he told a story about himself. Terry lives in Arizona, and he got pulled over by an unmarked police car for driving too fast. But he made his case. He said that he was a professor at the University of Arizona in Tucson, and he was late for his class. And the officer, in an act of mercy, decided not to give him a ticket, and he told him, "Okay, sir, slow down and drive safe." Terry, being a professor, opened his mouth and said, "Actually, sir, what you should say is slow down and drive safely." So the officer went back to his car and gave him a $72 ticket. Scripture says a lot about the wisdom of not saying a lot. Look with me at some verses. James chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. And I love Proverbs 17. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. Look at this verse. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. Believe it or not, even though you have a Twitter account or a Facebook account, you really don't have to weigh in on every conversation you meet. Everything said must be true, but not everything true must be said. Look at Ephesians 4 one more time, verses 29 and the first part of verse 30. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. God's Spirit wants to control our speech. And that's the last question. Is it kind? Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. The flesh doesn't naturally gravitate toward kindness. It's a work of God in our hearts to be kind to people. And when God's Spirit dwells in our hearts, words that are kind, patient, good, joyful, that's what comes out of your mouth. And you know of times in your life when you were blessed. In fact, you were given new life by words from someone with a Spirit-filled tongue. Mary Ann Byrd lived before World War II in our country. She was a little girl with a cleft palate, which isn't a big deal today, but it was back then. She had 17 different surgeries. Simple things like blowing up a balloon, drinking from a water fountain, were very difficult exercises for her. She was also deaf in one of her ears. And you can imagine, in many ways, the psychological trauma was much worse than the physiological trauma. She took a lot of teasing from her classmates. And the day that she dreaded most at school was a day called the whisper test day. They don't do that now. But back then, you'd come up to your teacher and you would put your hand over your ear, and the teacher would whisper something into your ear. And it was always something simple like, "The sky is blue," or "Your shoes are pretty." And then you would say it back to test and see how well you were hearing. But it was just one more chance for kids to make fun of Marianne. So she tried to cup her hand to her good ear, but it didn't matter that day, because the teacher that they all loved, Mrs. Leonard, leaned right into her ear, and she said 7 words that changed her life. "I wish you were my little girl." You want to be a person like that. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says, careless words stab like a sword, but wise words bring healing. So think about whatever you say. I find it interesting on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the church, the very first thing that happened were there were these tongues of fire and their speech was changed. Remember what James says? Hell wants to set your tongue on fire. So does heaven. My advice to you is to tie your tongue to the Spirit of God. Be known as the person that thinks about whatever they say. And if anyone ever asks why you always speak encouraging words, why do you always say things that are helpful, why are you always so uplifting, simply say, I'm tongue-tied. I've tied my tongue to the Spirit of God. When you gave Jesus your word, you gave Jesus your words. So I want you to join me in praying a prayer for the next 7 days. I would like us to do this every morning as we arise, just to pray the words of Psalm 141, verse 3. Take control of what I say, O Lord. Guard my lips. That's something in your Bible, by the way, you should underline, you should highlight, you should store that one up in your heart. And each morning as you wake up this week, would you just say these words, the first thing you say before you say anything else, take control of what I say, O God, today. Guard my lips today. 7 days. And let's see what a difference that will make.